Sports Podcast featuring 2022 IAPSS Indiana Superintendent of the Year and the Superintendent of Franklin Community Schools, Dr. David Clendenning. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Executive Director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. The Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. Superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. Although that's all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and a servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. David Clendenning. Welcome, David.
Hey, thank you for having me on today's show.
You know, it's when we talk about the superintendency, everybody has a pathway into the superintendency, and they tend to be fairly unique. What was your pathway into the superintendency?
You know, my pathway started back when I was a student at Indiana University. I always thought I was going to be a teacher, coach, and going to be that next Bob Knight or whatever, right, that everybody thinks of. And I actually got to work for Coach Knight when I was down at IU. But really, my pathway started with a guy named Tom McKinney.
Okay.
Tom, his claim to fame was the last basketball coach in Indiana to win one class at Bloomington North. But Tom started off his teaching career in Shelbyville. And when I was finishing up and graduating from Indiana University, Shelbyville had an opening. And so he helped me in making that connections and relationships to get that position. After 6 years, I got riffed.
Oh, geez.
And I was just finishing my degree at Butler for administration. So I just thought, okay, am I going to be a coach or am I going to be an administrator? And I decided at that time, you know what? I wanted to see a bigger picture. I loved teaching in the classroom. I loved coaching. But I really wanted to have a greater impact either at the school level or the district level. So my pathway took me on a North Central visit with the guy named Kent Evans in Connersville.
Yeah.
And after our visit, I said, hey, if you ever have any openings, let me know. Well, he was the deputy superintendent in Goshen. And so after being reduced in force through the RIF process in Shelbyville, I reached out to Kent, and they had an assistant principal opening. And I was able to land that job in Goshen. I stayed there for 15 years, and my mentor in that space was a guy named Dr. Bruce Staley.
Yes.
Bruce, yes. Just a good man.
Amazing, amazing leader.
And he helped me along the way. And then at age 30, I became the principal of Goshen Middle School, which is a pretty young, you know, in our careers. Like, that's a pretty short period of time to
be. It doesn't seem like it at the time, but looking back.
Yeah, looking back now, I'm like, hey. So, and I got to hire my team of people. And actually, on my team, I had three assistant principals, and two of them ended up becoming superintendents.
Oh, fun.
So, you know, the path that we had created was one on collegiality, relationships, and knowing that you weren't the smartest person in the room. It was about getting everybody around that table to help in that space. And Bruce really continued to foster that. Another guy's name was Dr. Bob Duell, who was the most creative, out-of-the-box thinker I've ever met in my life. Oh, my goodness. But he really helped show the path as well from the perspective of there are only little hurdles to get over, but nothing is a closed door.
Yep.
Continue to fight for kids and do what's right. So that was my path. And then Dr. Boyd was my dissertation chair at Indiana State.
Legendary.
He had more sayings and cliches than anybody I know. But when I was finishing up my degree, he wrote on an application to Franklin Schools, this is a good job. That same week with Bruce Staley in our one-to-one monthly meetings, he's like, hey, Dave, I'm going to be here in Goshen for a while. You know, you can stay here. You can be in central office as executive director of curriculum communication. That's a great job. But Franklin's a good job. You should look at it. So I did. Those two people came together. I was fortunate to land the job. And here I am 17 years later as the longest tenured superintendent in Franklin Schools. And it's been a good run. That's my pathway.
So you've mentioned several mentors that you've had. You also mentioned two of your assistant principals that went on to become superintendent. And you have been an active mentor in the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents for years, giving back to aspiring superintendents and those who are new into the profession. Why do you do that? Why do you mentor and give back to leaders who are just beginning their superintendency or even aspiring to be a superintendent?
You know, I think we need to make sure that people have those connections. And I, you know, in my pathway, in my walk, I've always thought there needs to be someone that's mentoring me, someone that's walking side beside me, mm-hmm. and then someone I'm helping. Mm-hmm. That's how it's been my whole journey. If I go back to my days, you know, I talked about in my time at IU, a guy named Dick Renard was the football coach at Bloomington North, and I played for him. Well, he knew I wanted to coach, and so as a sophomore at IU, he said, come and be on the staff. Mm. And I got to see that. And then, you know, from that, people that I got to work side by side with. So along my path, I always thought that's what you need to do. You need to help the person that you see leadership in below to take that next step. Because, you know, we're not going to all be in these seats forever.
Right.
And it really is important to bring people forward. And like I said earlier, I'm not the smartest person in the room, but you know what? I can be the smartest person when I bring great people around me to help in that journey.
So let's talk a little bit more about that, because you've been superintendent here, you mentioned 17 years. Yeah. The environment changes when you walk into a classroom, when you walk into a boardroom, when you walk into the principal's office. People know David Clendenning is the superintendent, and that is the highest position in this school corporation. How do you keep yourself humble when you know every time you walk in, you're elevated to a certain status?
Well, I think the first thing is when my kids were still here in Franklin, I had four boys, and I was not Dr. Clendenning. I was Ethan's dad, Jeff's dad, Ryan's dad, Tate's dad. And that was the first thing, you know, that, you know, they saw me as a person, not as a superintendent. Mm-hmm. I am very involved with the classroom still today. I will go into the schools. I'll sit and watch. It's a, you know, the elementary kids think you're either the president or something like that. But you know, they see me often, not like a superintendent would stay out and sit behind their desk.
Right.
So one of the ways I do it is to continue to get out, and the comments that people make and what they like about coming here. You know, I've had a lot of people walk up to me, and actually this happened a few weeks ago, and said that they moved into the area and they were asking about our school. And they're like, that people know you, that people understand why you lead our district and how you lead our district. So that keeps me humbled. Like, you know, this job's not about me. I've been very fortunate and been gifted to be able to lead this district for a long time. But it's not about David Clendenning. It's about how to help Franklin get better. And I think we have. One of the things I've heard along the way is leave the position better than you found it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? I think in the journey here, we're on the path to leaving better than when I found it. Before I got here, there were five superintendents in 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So I was able to
obviously
see a lot of unrest. And I've been able to grow the school district to success levels. We've been also able to connect with the community. We have a great relationship with the city. You know, each month I meet with the CEO of the hospital, the mayor, Franklin College president, myself. And we don't talk about our jobs. We talk about how do we help each other grow together. And we've seen those partnerships come together.
Make Franklin a stronger community.
And makes us a much stronger community. Mm.
So you mentioned that, backing up. So sometimes people know there's some superintendents, sometimes they don't. You have heard in just a couple of weeks ago about people who are moving here, who are attending these schools because of the reputation that you have created, and not only for the district, but for yourself. What is it that you hope people say about you when people say, who is David Clendenning?
Well, the first thing they're probably going to say is, man, that guy cries a lot when he talks in large groups. Because that's one of the things about me. I wear my emotions on my sleeves. But I think that I would also like them to say that I was a person of integrity. Mm-hmm. I was one who really cared about our district, that loved everything about that even when tough decisions had to be made, it wasn't about what David thought was best for David. It was what David thought was best for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I hope people would look back and say that.
We've talked a lot about Franklin Community Schools, but talk about Franklin Community. There's sometimes some confusion with some other Franklin districts, not too far from where you are in Franklin Community. But you mentioned the hospital, you mentioned a university, you mentioned the mayor. For somebody who doesn't know much about Franklin Community, how would you describe that to them?
Franklin Community is a bedroom community in Indianapolis. We're also an agribusiness community, you know, where we have a lot of the connections that would come with that suburban area, where we are not a growing district. At one point in the early 2000s, we were a very fast growing school district. But then that kind of stopped. And so we've been right around that 4,900 to 5,000 kid population over my 17 years. So that's probably the first thing people would say is like, who are you?
Yeah.
I think that people would see us as we are the county seat, and they would see us as a district that and community that provides resources for families in need. And that's one of the things that we're really known for, that we do reach out and help each other. So that's another significant factor, I think, in Franklin.
And you have city schools, you have county schools, or country schools. You have a really diverse population.
We do have a diverse population. We're a long, skinny school district. We're 112 square miles, but it's 7 miles wide. And you know, I think it's 19 miles or so long. And we go from Morgan County to Shelby County. And yeah, we have one school. It's 146 kids. At the elementary level, and our high school is at about 1,450 kids. So those five elementaries are quite unique in that space. And you know what? The pride that each of them has about their own personalities is really great. And then we feed into an intermediate school of 5-6, and then we feed into a 7-8 building, and then the high school. So we are a quite long and diverse community.
Wow. A lot of different decisions to be made when you're thinking about not only how to best serve all students equitably, but also situations when you have weather and when you have resources and those types of allocations you're having to take care of.
Yeah, the weather delays are always interesting because on the boundaries, they have different weather than we have in the city.
Yeah.
You know, and most of our elementaries, the schools are actually in the city limits. The one that's furthest out also has little rolly hills and some different county roads that makes it more difficult. And then on the eastern side, it's flat farmland. So when the wind comes whipping through, so we have to take all of this into consideration.
You can't just cancel one school.
No, you can't cancel one school, but I know people would think that. But no, we can't cancel one. And so we do make those decisions about student safety. And I would also, I go back to, mom and dad are the best educators and for their own child, right?
Yep.
Our job is to partner alongside them from weather decisions to academic decisions. Mm-hmm. We're the leaders and experts in education, 100%. But it's their child. It's the most important thing that they have in their life that they're giving to us to help mold.
Yeah.
And that's what I take into consideration when I'm making decisions, both about weather, academic, or the goals and how we're spending money.
Perfect segue into my final question. What does leading with excellence mean to you, especially in the context of public education? It's what we do. We're leaders. What does leading with excellence mean to you?
The first thing I think of, it speaks to who we are as individuals and a person of integrity. You need to be known for your word.
Yeah.
You need to be known that, you know, when Dr. Clendenning says something, that's that kind of the direction. Leading with excellence also means that you're going to listen. You know, I don't have all the greatest ideas. The greatest ideas come from other people around me that I get to help mold and form them. And then I think that the third plank of leading excellence for me is trust. You know, in our school district, we have five guiding principles: individual student growth, collaboration, communication, systemic thinking, and trust. Each of those domains have guided us in our journey. They've been with my superintendency since year two. And so we talk about that a lot. But when I think about leading with excellence, that bottom, the foundation is trust. Do people trust you? They're going to give you your child for those days to grow from pre-K to senior in high school. Do they trust what you're saying? Do they trust what you're doing? And when you put forth a program, be it academics, athletics, fine arts, that you have the best interests of the child in mind. And that goes back to individual student growth. We want every kid to grow to their full potential, not the cookie cutter potential mm-hmm. that schools might have. But I think the great thing about traditional public schools is that we get to do that. We get to mold everybody yeah. into their best being.
Well, and I think to emphasize that trust, parents are sending us the what they love the most. And so they have to have that trust that we're going to be there to be in the best interest of their children.
Absolutely. And they are sending us, you know, their very best and the most precious thing that they love.
Yeah.
And it's our job to continue to come alongside them and help them.
Yeah. David, thank you for being my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the 2022 IEPSS Indiana Superintendent of the Year and the Superintendent of Franklin Community Schools, Dr. David Clendenning. David's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.